Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're about to hear the teaching of Pastor Randy Castillo from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please enjoy our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready. Find your Bible. Open your heart. Here is Pastor Randy.
Yes, Lord, you are amazing. Lord, you never cease to blow our minds, to change our hearts, to humble us in your presence. And this morning, no exception, Lord, we come being thankful for your love for us, for the mercy and grace, for the salvation that came through your Son, Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving us. Holy Spirit, thank you for residing in our hearts. And give us spiritual ears to hear. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. Awesome. You may be seated. Well, good morning. How y'all doing? Awesome sauce. I like it. Yes. All right. I got a couple announcements before you. First of all, in case you didn't know, this is important. Friday is Christmas. Merry Christmas. Just in case you didn't know, I thought I'd remind you. You know, it creeps up on you. All right. So, the Lamppost Bookstore, a lot of you ordered hoodies. The hoodies are in. I think they had a couple that were on back order, not too many, but they're in. A bunch of people were asking me about window stickers. Those are in. And besides that, they have a lot of great Christmas gift ideas for kids. Actually, they have for all ages. Listen, if for the person that is so hard to buy for, listen, why not give them the Word of God or some form of encouragement in the Lord? And you can find those last-minute gifts right there in the bookstore. So make your way back to Lamppost, and they'll be sure to take care of you. Also, with that, Christmas cards. We have a little filing cabinet thing or box or whatever on the table over in the fellowship hall, and they're in alphabetical order by last name. Go through there. You might be surprised that there's a card in there for you. There's a bunch piling up, so go grab them. But also, if you want to make cards for people, that's a great way to put them in there. You got even candlelight service this Thursday. You can put some in there. But hopefully, they'll be gone on Thursday. That'd be great. Which, by the way, there will be no Wednesday night service this next week because Thursday at 6, we're having our candlelight service now. It's going to be awesome. Let me tell you, we have, of course, our worship team, yay. But also, we have the youth group. And I heard the youth. They're awesome. They're going to do Christmas songs for you. They have a youth skit that's awesome, funny, very cool. The children's church, they're going to do a couple songs. They have a video for you that is so adorable. You're going to want to watch it over and over again. And we have a special share song that, from what I hear, is going to blow your mind. Pretty awesome. Now, for the night, the candlelight service, you're going to want to bring, if you want, you can bring your favorite cookie. Now, to share. Now, that doesn't mean bring one cookie. Pastor, I brought a cookie. I'm going to sit in the seat next to me. Okay, pay attention. He's teaching now. No. Bring some cookies if you want. And listen, if you don't bring any, that's all right. We always have a lot. There's always way too much. But it's kind of cool to share cookies, eat cookies, have some fellowship. That's the idea. After the candlelight, stick around, have some fellowship, and it's going to be a great time. All right, so if you would please now open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. Of course, being Christmas, I would have to give a Christmas-type message. I've entitled our message, Savior, the Greatest Gift, and it's true, it is. Now, here's the thing. I do preach, but I teach. And so even when it comes to Christmas time, I'm going to teach you guys. We're gonna dissect the word here, but I think that by the time we're done, and this is the impression I got from first service, by the time we're done, you're going to look at the Christmas story completely different than you ever have before. Because I'm going to teach you, I'm going to show you some things that maybe you've missed or not thought of, okay? So we're going to look at Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. Now, if you would please, we're going to read all our verses. So let's stand as we read the word, and then I will back up and we'll pick it apart, sort of, as we go through here. So, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered, "What manner of greeting was this?" Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can it be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Now, verse 36, "Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. This is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, your maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Father God, we just pray that this would come alive to us. Show us what maybe we've overseen, that we've overpassed and not taken notice of. Let it be nourishment to our soul. And Father, may we recognize the greatest gift, your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated. Verse 26. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth." Now, it says here the sixth month. You have to ask yourself, the sixth month of what? Well, we're told later, Elizabeth's pregnancy. This is confirmed in verse 36. Now, she is Mary's relative. Now, obviously, if the Holy Spirit felt it important to tell us, this is information you and I need to hang on our belt. Okay, so I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to give you a lot of things for you to hang on your belt because we're going to pick them apart later, but I just want to lay this as a backdrop. The Holy Spirit has said, hey, in the sixth month, we're talking about Elizabeth. We're going to talk about Elizabeth later. This is highly important, as you will see. Now notice, so we also have, we have where? Nazareth. Now we have a who? A who? Yeah, the angel Gabriel. The angel Gabriel, listen, whenever you see the angel Gabriel, he always is bringing a message. He's a messenger. And by the way, I've told you this, the word angel is simply messenger. That's all it is. That's what it means, messenger. So, by the way, when you share the gospel or you share scripture with someone, that makes you a messenger. I mean, you're an angel. When I share the gospel, I'm an angel. But here we have an actual angel, a celestial being. Now, Gabriel always brings a message, unlike Michael. Michael is a warrior. He always comes for the battle. So here, Gabriel, still a powerful angel, but he just brings messages. That's what he does. Now, our location, of course, the Galilee, city of Galilee, a city in Galilee called Nazareth. Now, as we look upon Nazareth, you must understand there's a reason why the Holy Spirit tells us about this place also. Why is that? Nazareth was looked down upon. It was like a ghetto. It was not looked at with very high regard. In fact, over in John chapter 1, verse 46, you don't have to turn there, but you can write in your margin. Here's what Nathanael says when Philip is inviting him to come and see Jesus. And he says, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Nathanael says, he says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip says, "Come and see. Come and see." Listen, when we say, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" it's kind of like if we would say, "Can anything good come out of Bullhead?" You know, most people, listen, I'm not bashing on Bullhead. Most people have never even heard of Bullhead. You know, they think, well, is that a snake? Yes, it is. But it's also a little town, a little breezy, dusty town. That's like also saying, can anything good come out of the autonomous zone, Chaz? No, nothing good could come out of there. I'll tell you that. Or how about this? It's like saying, can anything good come out of Washington, D.C.? I'm glad to see y'all are awake. I like it. First service was like, what? What did he say? No, I'm just teasing. They were good, too. I'm joking. First service, I'm sorry. I was just joking. Okay. But listen, here's the fact. When Nathaniel says, hey, can anything good come out of Nazareth? It's like, yes. Something wonderful. Jesus comes out of Nazareth. Listen, in fact, that's the point. In God's economy, God can use any place and any person. Can anything good come out of Randy? Well, evidently, eventually, because of the Lord, yes. Can anything good come out of you? Yes. God loves, here you go. God loves to use the underdog. God loves to use the ones who go, really, God, he made him a pastor? Yeah, he did, believe it or not. Okay? And listen, there's no telling what God would want to do with you. God likes to use the lowly to do the miraculous because then he gets more glory. He gets more glory. Now, don't turn on a heater because it's hot in here. It's a little warm. I see people fanning. Just put the fans on. That would be awesome. Thank you. So, Nazareth. That's where Jesus, that's his stomping ground. But that's where Mary is right now. Look, verse 27. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now, listen, in our day and age, for someone to encounter an angel would be miraculous. But in our day and age, for an angel to encounter a virgin would be miraculous. Just try and find one of those these days. But back in Mary's day, virginity was a virtue. It was something that, you know, people kept themselves pure till marriage. Now, Mary isn't just a virgin, by the way. She's not any run-of-the-mill virgin. Why? She has favor with God. Why? Because she is godly. And by the way, she is humble, and we'll explore that. Hang that on your belt. That's important for later. Now, notice this. She's betrothed, and we'll look at that here in a moment, to Joseph of the house of David. Listen, Jesus' lineage has to be from the lineage of David. It has to be a royal lineage. It really does. In fact, if you go back to Matthew, you'll see a genealogy in Matthew. Don't turn there. You'll see in the beginning of Matthew a genealogy. And what it does is it starts from David and it goes all the way to Joseph. But then you go, well, why is there a different genealogy in Luke? That's because it starts with David and it goes all the way to Mary. You see, God makes sure he covers all his bases. Even though Joseph will not be Jesus' biological father, he'll be his stepfather, he'll raise Jesus, and God makes sure that Joseph's lineage goes to David, and Mary, who is his biological mother, her lineage goes to David. God covers all his bases. And by the way, it's just a testimony that God puts two people together when they get married. And you'll want to know that for what we're about to see, because I think you're going to go, what? Yeah, really. Now, this is a promise of a royal savior that he has come through the lineage of David. Now, Joseph, what do we know about Joseph? Here's what we know. He's Jesus' stepdad. Also, we know he is a carpenter. Did you know that being a carpenter was the second lowest job you could possibly get? It was. You know what the lowest job was? A shepherd. Shepherd was, but some reason God likes to make men shepherds so that he can use them. Look, David was a shepherd. Moses got to be a shepherd for 40 years before God would use him. God will give a man the lowest job, but check this out. Jesus was a carpenter, which was the second lowest, but he also called himself the good shepherd, which was the lowest. He equated himself to the two lowest positions on the earth at that time. And then on top of that, he washed feet. Wow. Hard to grasp that a carpenter from Nazareth is the architect of the universe. Isn't that amazing? But he was humble. Could you imagine? Could you imagine if we found a table that was made by Jesus? I bet that'd be worth a couple of dollars. Well, hold on a second. Wait a minute. Do you realize that you were fashioned together by Jesus and you are valuable? In fact, you were so valuable that he shed his blood for you, his royal blood for you, because you are valuable to God. You may not be valuable to anybody else, but you are to him. You are to him. Now think about this, okay? So Jesus was being raised by a carpenter, so he's a carpenter's son. As he was growing up as a young boy, I wonder if every time it rained and then he saw a rainbow, if he talked about the flood and the promise of his father never to destroy the earth by water again. Could you imagine? Oh, could you imagine having to be Jesus' Sunday school teacher? He's the living word. He's the living word. He was the living word. Excuse me, teacher. Not correct. Oh, Jesus. You're such a know-it-all. It's because he knows it all. Right? Now, by the way, there are stories. You can find these stories. If you ever hear that when before Jesus was baptized, when he was a 12-year-old boy or 14-year-old boy or 16, that he created a bird out of mud. And just, you know what? When you hear that, just walk away. Just walk away. Listen, Jesus didn't start his ministry until after he was baptized, and that's a whole nother study, deep study, but maybe we'll tackle it some other time. But think about this. As Jesus was growing up, being a Jewish boy to a carpenter, that means every Passover, they would take a lamb to be slaughtered in Jerusalem. And I wonder if he was walking that lamb, if he thought, one day that's going to be me, being walked to the slaughter. And as he crossed over the brook Kidron, which means dark brook, and it was called that because they'd slaughter 250,000 lambs every Passover, and all the blood would run down out of the temple into the brook. And I wonder if he was walking into Jerusalem and he saw that blood, if he knew one day his blood would be dripping down into that. Why? Because he was the greatest gift that was ever given. He is the savior of mankind. Listen, that newborn baby was older than eternity. Think about that. All God's majesty and glory was laid in a stone-cold manger. And we'll talk about that on Thursday. Wait till you hear that part. Mary gets to coddle the infinite. Can you imagine that? All other babies are finite. Mary was holding Jesus, the infinite infant. Wouldn't that be cool for a bumper sticker? The infinite infant, Merry Christmas. Mary, a young girl, is holding the living God who humbled himself to be a baby. She's holding him. And I love the song, Mary, Did You Know? That one part where it says, and when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Those soft, you know, baby soft puppy cheeks. Those cheeks were God. Older than eternity, yet born on one day, born new. And Mary gets to watch him grow. I wonder if he opened his eyes, if she looked in and wondered, what have those eyes seen? He saw the creation of galaxies. He saw the angels before his father's throne. He saw angels worship him. Wait, hold on. What about the angels? Imagine from their perspective. They worship God. They worship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They saw the power and the majesty. And then one of the Godhead, the Son, decides to be a baby held by a little teenage girl, helpless. And they're going, oy vey, what is that? The Creator is a baby? They watched the birth. And the angel's like, look what, he's coming out of that girl. That's his head. The Savior, the Creator of mankind, the guy who created us, is a baby. The voice that spoke and everything into existence now cries to be held. They look at their creator, the ultimate supernatural being born naturally. Chew on that for a while. Then Mary watches him grow, watching him become a man. And then as a man, he allows himself to be nailed to the planet that he created. Wow. Now, realize this. In this time, Mary was probably about 15, 16 years old. That's about the age that they would marry in this culture. She's betrothed. She's betrothed to Joseph. Now watch this. Betrothed. What does that mean? Engaged. She's engaged. Listen, in fact, at this time in culture and history, parents would often make marriage arrangements even before the kids were born. How would you like that, ladies? To have the guy that you're going to be married, not know what he looks like, what his temperament, and then one day, oh, by the way, here's the guy you're going to marry. I don't get to pick. Nope. It'll do our family good to marry that guy. By the way, ladies, excuse me. By the way, men, know this. The lady you were with, she picked you. She picked you. You didn't pick her. She picked you. Get that straight. And you don't deserve her. But you got her by God's blessing. How about that? Now, when there was a betrothal, the engagement usually lasted about a year. What would happen in that year's time, the guy comes up and he says, hey, Susie Chapstick, will you marry me? Yes. Then the guy goes back to his father's house and he builds onto the house. And he says, hey, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. Actually, John 14, verse 2 through 3, Jesus speaking, in my Father's house are many mansions. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me that you may be where I am. Listen, if you go on our website, go to special messages under sermons. There's one that says the Jewish wedding. You will understand every statement, most of the important statements that Jesus made. They're actually about a marriage. And we, the church, are his bride. And we go to the marriage supper. It all has to do. So here, when Jesus says that, that's actually what a young man would say when he's betrothed. Now, real quick, notice it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And I've said this before. I want you to be a biblical church. That term, many mansions, is not a really good translation. It's actually dwelling places. So when someone tells you, hey, there's a guy, you got to hear, there's a gal, they died and they went to heaven and they describe it. Come and listen to this. Or they send you a video and that person says, yes, I went to heaven. I was walking down the streets of gold and there were all these mansions and everybody had their own. You know what you do? You turn that off and you say, I'm not going to listen to that. It's not biblical. In my father's house, here's what would happen. Young man finds a girl. She says, yes, I'll marry you. He says, okay, I go to prepare a place for you, and then I'll come. And by the way, when he goes and he's building this onto the father's house, the father would tell him, hey, your bride, she'd like more windows. Girls like a lot of light. And then, of course, the guy would say, but what about my man cave? And he says, forget about that. You want to make her happy. Okay, so then the father would say, okay, that's good. Go get your bride. That's why Jesus said, no one knows but the Father. So Jesus is preparing. Imagine this. All this time that he's been up there, he's preparing a place for us to dwell. What is that going to look like? It only took him 6 days to make the earth and the stars. It's taking him, 2,000 years to build us a house. Yeah, baby. Anyways, oh, by the way, in Revelation, later on, you're going to see, I will actually tell you how large a house it will be. It tells us. and it'll blow your mind. Anyways, we'll get past that. I don't want to get bogged down. We'll get there when we get there. Okay, so here's what happens. So the son builds onto the house, the father's house. Then one day the father passes away. He's married. He's got his bride. Guess what? The son now takes over the whole house. Then his son builds on, and pretty soon you have a mansion. That is how a family would accumulate wealth. That is why it was so important for a man to have offspring, and we'll talk about that also. Now, very important, betrothed. Not married yet, but engaged. Now, here you go. Listen to this. If you were betrothed, engaged, and you were unfaithful, or if you engaged in premarital sex and someone found out about it, or you got pregnant, you could be stoned to death. Yeah. So different from today, isn't it? Listen, I used to work Loser's Lounge. I'm sorry. I didn't want to work there. It was the only job I could get. I was a DJ. Wick, 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 wick. But listen, I saw some things there. There would be what do you call those bridal showers? And there would be sometimes there would be the bachelor parties, and they would bring it there, and you would hear them say, "One last fling before I'm off the market." You know what? In those days, if they tried to do that during Mary's time, it'd be like one last fling before they put me in a casket. Listen, I think it would be great if we re-implemented that, because I think people would take it. They'd be more prayerful about who they marry, because they would understand when they say "till death do us part" that they mean it. So, Mary is going to get pregnant without a man. You know what her name means? Listen, in Mary is Greek. Miriam is Hebrew. Miriam means bitterness. Why bitterness? Listen, first of all, wait. Why should Mary's name be bitterness? Didn't it say, "Mary, you are highly favored of God"? Yeah, but God has a plan for her. And oftentimes the plan God has for us might be a little tough. Mary's going to be pregnant without marriage. She's going to be ridiculed. "Mary, you're not married and you're pregnant?" Even, by the way, check this out. So she gives birth to Jesus. Jesus gains notoriety. And remember the wedding feast, the first miracle that Jesus did was what? He turned water into wine, right? But do you remember the strange conversation between he and Mary? If you don't, do me a favor. Turn to John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. I'm going to help you to see what this conversation really was all about. Without thinking about what I just explained to you, you'd go, "Wow, that is a really weird statement." Watch. John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. "And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.' And Jesus said to her, 'Woman,'" well, by the way, guys, don't say that to your mom or your wife. "Woman, where's my dinner?" Jesus said it. No, listen, in that it doesn't translate well. Actually, the term here is really a loving term. It just doesn't translate well in English. So he says, "Woman," mommy, loving, he doesn't call her mom, but he says, "What? Look, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not come yet." What a weird statement. What a weird statement. Do you understand? Here's what was going on. There's more than meets the eye. This is Jesus' first miracle. Mary knows who Jesus is. The angel right here in our scripture tells us that the angel said, "Hey, you're going to give birth to the Son of God." But her name, Miriam, means bitter. She's been bitter. Why? They've accused her. They've said horrible things. She's probably even been an outcast, even amongst her family members. In fact, Jesus will get in an argument with the scribes and the Pharisees, and they will call him a bastard. So you know they said that about Mary. So Mary is like, "Okay, Jesus, it's your time. This is your ministry time. You're working. Ministry has started. do a miracle. So everyone will know I wasn't lying, that you truly came from God. That's why Jesus says, what does your concern, and trust me, she was concerned, have to do with me? My hour has not come yet. It's not time for me to reveal who I am. Trust me. I know Mary. I know Mom. It's been 30 years and you had to bear the shame, yet you know that I am God in the flesh. But eventually everyone will know. And by the way, we know now, and we know what an amazing young lady she was. But by the way, but you go, hey, but Pastor Randy, he did the miracle. Yes, but he did it quietly. Nobody knew he did it except Mary and a couple of other people. Why? Because it wasn't time for him to reveal. But she wanted him to. She wanted her name cleared. Jesus, show them who you are. I know my son. I know he's God. I know my mijo. So Mary walked in bitterness. Why? Because people didn't understand that the Holy Spirit had entered her. Wait. Did you catch that? Isn't the same true for us? Sometimes our Christian walk is a little bitter because people don't understand that the Holy Spirit has changed us and we're new. And they're like, what do you mean, the Spirit of God? And they, that Randy's a Jesus freak. I was like, yes, I am. The Holy Spirit's in me. The Holy Spirit's in you. And guess what? Just like they don't understand and they ridiculed Mary, guess what? They're going to ridicule us. Guess what? They ridiculed Jesus. How could the Spirit of God wrap himself in flesh? It's the same concept. So when you go, man, I'm really struggling with the concept of, you know, a virgin giving birth. Well, then how do you struggle with, do you not struggle with the concept of God, omnipotent God, setting his Spirit inside of you, sinner? Listen, it's all a miracle. It's a miracle that God wrapped himself in flesh to be Jesus. It's a miracle that God came and impregnated a virgin girl. It's a miracle that now we have the Holy Spirit in us. Mary only had the Holy Spirit at this time in her womb. It won't be until after the cross that she can receive Christ. We're one step ahead of her at this point. Is that not amazing? That's why Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. They don't get it. They don't get it. But her name means bitter. Because she probably walked around and said, yes, I'm pregnant, but the Holy Spirit did it. God did it. Yeah, right. Can you imagine, you know, a couple, they're betrothed, they love each other, and all of a sudden she's pregnant and they're not married yet, and she goes, God did it. Yeah, right. Listen, I know you love him, but he ain't God. Okay. But in this case, she was true. The world didn't understand. What about Joseph? He loves her. And one day she comes up and says to him, oh, by the way, I'm pregnant and God did it. Well, thankfully, that's what we'll have to trust. I need to keep going. We're going to run out of time. But you get the idea. So the world doesn't understand that we have the Holy Spirit in us. But that shouldn't stop us from trying to give the gift of freedom and life and forgiveness to others. You know what's not cool at Christmas time? You know what's not cool at Christmas time? Regifting, right? You get that gift. It's like, oh, yikes. You know what? Aunt Bertha will love this. I spared no expense. It's like, no, re-gifting's not cool. But when you re-gift the Holy Spirit, that is the coolest, the best. That is the greatest gift, to give someone the Savior. That's the only time re-gifting is super okay and cool and great, and you should do it. And if you don't do it, that's the problem. Now, think about this too. This was Mary's first Christmas. This is the first Christmas ever. And it's not quite what she was bargaining for, was it? Sometimes Christmas doesn't turn out the way we think. Sometimes, you know, last Christmas was hard, and we go, oh, it's got to be better next Christmas. And then the next Christmas comes, and it's so hard. Listen, even about right now, there's a lot of hurt and pain. Some people have lost jobs. Some people have lost family members. It's hard. Listen, Christmas was hard for Mary. She was young. She was a virgin. She would have to tell Joseph. Would he give up on her? What are all the people going to think? What are her family? are people going to stone me to death? She doesn't know yet. She just knows I'm pregnant. At the time, she's probably overwhelmed by the angel, but as soon as he's gone, she probably started thinking, wait a minute. That sounded cool. I'm going to give birth to God until I thought about the fact that I'm a virgin and I'm not married. I'm going to be an outcast. There will be shame. Yet she knows what they don't know. You and I know what others don't know. We know that Jesus came to give birth to all mankind. We know that Jesus is the greatest gift of all. But it came with a huge price tag for this little girl and her soon-to-be husband. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, sometimes it comes with a big price tag. Sometimes you lose friends. You lose family members who don't want to talk to you anymore. People doubt that you're really a Christian. Do you really have the Spirit of God in you? And they've just, right? You ever get that ridicule? Well, look at it. It happened to Mary first. But you know what's beautiful? She received the Holy Spirit and she presented him to the world. Here's my baby. As you receive the Holy Spirit, may we present him to the world. It's the greatest gift ever, the Savior. Look at verse 28. I got to get moving. Having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. You are blessed. Blessed are you among women." Now, real quick, let me reread that because I just butchered it. Sorry. I'm thinking and reading. I got to stop thinking and just read. Okay. Having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Now, because of this verse, there are churches that seek to venerate Mary, to lift Mary up to Jesus status. They say, listen, yes, we understand Christ died on the cross and grace flows from Jesus, but it flows from Jesus through Mary and then she distributes out the grace and that's why we pray to Mary. No. They say, look, Pastor Randy, it says she is highly favored. And I say, yes, but did you read the whole verse? Look what it says. Highly favored one, blessed are you among women, not above women. You're not blessed above every other woman. You're blessed among women. Why? Well, because somebody had to give birth to the Messiah. God just chose a girl who was godly and, as you're going to see, humble. She's humble. So God says she is highly favored. He says it twice. How'd you like that? How'd you like an angel to come to you and say, "Hey, God says you're highly favored"? Ooh. Guess what? You are. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Beloved, you know what that word means? Highly favored. You too are highly favored by God. Just like Mary, who received the Spirit of God, so does every believer. But we don't receive him in our womb. Some of us guys can't do that. But we don't receive her in our womb. We receive him in our heart. Mary couldn't do that yet. You, brothers and sisters, you are highly favored of God. Merry Christmas. That's true. That's true. Verse 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Listen, she's a young girl. What a very mature young girl for her age. She's not totally freaking out. Listen, she senses the power of this angel, this holiness of this angel. She senses it. She knows the holy. She's a young girl. You would think, I know some women that'll run from a lizard. They'll run from a cricket or a mouse. She is confronted with a being from another dimension, a being from the presence of God. She could have ran. She was young. Sure, probably run all day and all night. Couldn't outrun the angel, but she could have tried. She doesn't. Instead, she stands there and she's pondering. She's not prideful. Notice she's not prideful. The angel says to her, highly favored one of God, and she doesn't sit there and go, yes, I am Mary. I'm highly favored. Yes, tell me more about me. Tell me about my eyes. Now, she doesn't do that. Instead, she considers, she's like, wait, you sure you got the right Mary? She's humble. We'll see her even get more humble. But right now, she's considering what manner of greeting this is. Verse 30. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Listen, when an angel says don't be afraid, because listen, even though she's not running, there's some fear there. Otherwise, he wouldn't say don't be afraid. So he's like, hey, calm down. Chill out. You have found favor with God. She's brave, but she's afraid. Now notice he said it twice. You're highly favored. Then verse 28, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord has blessed you. You are blessed among women. Well, we are highly favored. Now, you got to ask. I hope you're asking. I hope you're thinking. Why am I highly favored? Listen, if you're sitting there thinking, well, of course I'm highly favored. Do you know who I am, Pastor? If you're thinking that, maybe you're not highly favored. You're the only one here. Not. No, I'm just joking. But listen, you know how we know we are highly favored? Because Jesus came to die for us. And why did he die for us? For you, for me, for we? Simply because he loves us. Not for anything we do, can do, should do, will do, but simply because he loves us. That's it. We are highly, highly favored. Now, I can sympathize with Mary. I hope you can. She's a young girl. Angel appears to her. I'm going to be pregnant. I'm not married. No one's going to believe me. How is that having favor? Excuse me, Mr. Angel. You're saying I'm being favored. I'm not married. I'm not married. They're going to ridicule me. How is that highly favored? Sometimes in life, hear me, we need to be reminded that we are highly favored because it doesn't feel like it. Sometimes what God allows, the positions for us to be, and they're difficult, and we're like, God, am I really yours? And he goes, yes, hang on. I got a plan. There are two verses. Romans 8:28. Listen to this. And we know that all things work together for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. See, Mary already loved God. That was already there. Now he calls her for his purpose. You are in love with God? Well, now he'll call you to his purpose. And you're highly favored, but his purpose might be a little boo-boo. Might be a little tough. And then Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Listen, did you catch that? He says this. Remember how the angel says, don't be afraid. Why? Because she was afraid. You know why God says, I know the thoughts I think of you, thoughts of peace, not of evil? Because sometimes it's going to feel like God's thoughts for us is no peace. This is hard, God. And he's like, listen, trust me. My thoughts for you are peace. It doesn't feel like it. I don't want you to go through evil stuff. It feels really evil right now, God. God says, no. Listen, not only that, sometimes it feels like we have no future or hope. And God says, if you just line up with me, I have a hope and a future for you. But it doesn't feel like it right now. He goes, I know. But how much do you trust me? Imagine Mary. 30 years of people. Oh, that's that Mary girl. She said she gave birth to God. Have you seen Jesus running around here? Can you imagine? Well, there's Joseph. Boy, they're trying to pull a fast one over. You know how people are. But he was the greatest gift. He was the Savior. Verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb. And I'm like, okay, good. Thanks, angel. Where else was she going to conceive from? Her foot? No, what he's doing, he's saying, listen, I know you haven't been, you know, you're a virgin, but trust me, it's going to happen. Even though it's supernatural, it's going to happen naturally. That's what he's telling her. It's going to be a natural birth of a supernatural being. And bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Now, the name Jesus is Greek for the Hebrew name Yahshua. And, oh, there's so much. We don't have time. There's so much. Okay, but listen. What does the name Yahshua mean? It means this. Jehovah is salvation. He says, little girl, you're going to have give birth to the Son of God, and you're going to name him God is salvation. Now, Mary's going to name her baby Yahshua is salvation because her baby is God. And you say, but Pastor Randy, that's not what this verse says. This verse says he's going to be the Son of God. I know. He's going to be both. Let me prove it to you. Now, you don't have to turn where I'm going to tell you to turn, and I'll tell you why. Isaiah 9:6, here's why. Half of the Christmas cards you will receive this year will have that verse on it. So you don't have to look it up right now. Just go home and look at your Christmas cards. You'll see it. It's there, okay? It's every year. But here's what it says. Watch this. Listen carefully. For unto us a child is born. Unto us what? A son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. Oh, thank God we need that right now. And his name will be called Wonderful. I like that. Counselor. I need that. Mighty God. Not Son of God. Mighty God. How do you like that? Now, just in case you're not sure, he takes it a step further. He's going to be called Mighty God. Oh, just in case you really Mighty God? Oh, yeah. He's going to be called Everlasting Father. Wait. A child is born, a son is given, who's the Everlasting Son is also the Everlasting Father, and he's Mighty God. Yep. Is he a son? Yeah. Is he a father? Yeah. Is he both? Uh-huh. How does that work? I don't know. Oh, I don't know. It's amazing, though. And it's true. And then he caps it off with Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. There's no other peace anywhere else. Now, just in case you think I'm making it up when I connect those together, look what the angel says, verse 32. And he will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. That means God. No end. Kingdom forever. He's Jesus. He's Yeshua. Jehovah is salvation. The greatest gift ever given was a Savior who brings salvation. Verse 34. Mary said to the angel, how can that be, since I do not know a man? I don't think, she may not have sounded like that. I don't know. If a recording shows up and she sounds like that, I'm excited. It's like, dude, you sounded just like her. I do not know a man. Okay. Now, this 15-year-old girl is asking a very good question. A simple question, a reasonable question. She says, I haven't been with anybody, bro. And by the way, when she says that to the angel, not only is she saying, I have not known a man, she says, nor do I plan to. I don't know who you have in mind, but I'm not interested. That's what she's saying. But when she says, I do not know a man, it's not like, a man, what is that? What do they look like? I never seen one. That's not what she's saying. It's more like Adam and Eve, when Adam knew Eve and they conceived. It's that intimacy, that union of a man and a woman. So, she leaves the angel with some thoughts. I have not known a man. I have no intentions of knowing a man. So as far as I'm concerned, pregnancy is out of the question. Now, I got to show you something, and this is so cool. So cool. Stay right here in this chapter, but jump back to verse 5. Remember I told you the reason why I told us we're in the 6th month of Elizabeth, her relative, her cousin, of her pregnancy. And you're like, well, why are they listing that? Why are they mentioning that? Well, let me give you some more insight right from the same chapter. Verse 5. A certain priest, what is he? A priest. Named Zacharias. His name was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was, ta-da, Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God. Dun-dun, they loved the law, walked in all his commandments and his ordinances of the Lord blameless. Okay, so here he is, he's a priest. He's married to his wife, he loves his wife. They've been walking with the Lord, they are faithful. But, verse 7, they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well advanced in years. So they're much, much older. Verse 11. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Now, where is Zacharias? He's a priest. The altar of incense is where you offered prayers in the holy place. And only, you know, the priest goes into the holies and the holies of holies. So the priest is there. He's praying before the altar. What a good guy. What a good guy. That's where the priest should be, praying. Verse 12. Then Zacharias saw, and he was troubled. Fear fell upon him, because an angel came to him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid. There's that same statement that he said to the little girl, but now it's a priest. This is a man who's mature. He's been seeking God. He's been praying. And he even is afraid. So you see how impressive it is that that young girl stayed? And here a grown man seeking the Lord, and he's afraid in the house of God? Yeah. Do not be afraid. Watch this. For your prayer is heard. So what was he doing? He was praying. And your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John the Baptist. It doesn't say that, but we know who that is. Now, in this time, for a man not to have an heir, not to have children, was shameful. It really was. No one to carry on the name. Every man wanted someone to carry on the name. Yes, you know, my son. Da-da-da. They don't have any children at all. And a woman without children was ridiculed, was shamed by the other women. Oh, you're barren. You know how women are. You ladies don't know, right? But women can be, you know, sometimes, hey, even men can be cruel to other men, but women can be too. So evidently, at this time, in this culture, if you didn't have any children, whoo-hoo, they would lay it heavy on you. But this guy, what a good man. He loves his wife. He's a good godly man. He's a priest. And he feels her pain and her shame. And this godly couple, he's praying for them. And the angel says, hey, God's heard your prayer. You two are faithful. You're gonna have a child. And you're gonna name him John. Okay, watch this, verse 18. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. You know what he's saying? He's saying, look at me. I'm old, but you should see my wife. Oh, she's way old. I mean, I get the intent. I get the impression she's not there, because that would never fly. Well, look, hey, it's his words, not mine. Look, he says, I'm old, and my wife, well advanced in years. She's out there. Verse 19, and the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, there's that same angel, who stands in the presence of God and has sent me to speak to you, bringing you these glad tidings that are blowing your mind. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Now, hold the phone. Why, Zechariah, he's just making statements like Mary did. Why can Mary say things, ask him questions, pose some objections? She doesn't get punished, but the priest gets punished. Why? Well, first of all, listen, when Mary says, how can this be? I do not know a man. Okay, that's understandable. It's true. But Zechariah, he says, hey, I'm old, and my wife is way much older. Zechariah gets punished. Why? Number one, he's a priest. She's a young teenage girl. But here's the kicker. He knows the word of God. What am I talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. Remember, he has the example of Abraham and Sarah, who were well up in age. 100 years old. 100 years old and 90 years old. And then she got pregnant. How do you like that, ladies? Try that at 90. So he had that. But here's the thing. There never, ever, ever has been a virgin birth, nor shall there ever. So she had nothing to draw upon, even though she is a godly girl. So he had the word of God and he doubted. She had no example to build her faith. That's why God says, you know what? Shut your mouth. Now, brother and sister, here's the truth. We got saved. You received the Holy Spirit, I pray. If you didn't, today's the day you received Christ, I pray. But listen, you receive Christ, and here's what happens. We start to have doubts. How can I be saved? God, I'm a sinner. I sin. How can I, God, how can I tell others about Jesus? I don't know enough. How can I give when I barely have enough for my family to survive? How can I serve? I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do. How can I overcome this fear and anxiety and worry? Do you know the horrible things I'm enduring right now, God? And God says, yeah, it's part of my plan. You got to trust me. The angel, he's going to answer all the questions. He's going to answer Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary, Joseph, yours, mine. He's going to answer. Look at verse 5. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Brother and sister, how do you deal with the list that I just read to you that we struggle with? By being re-equipped with the Spirit of God. It answers every question of doubt, fear, concern, worry, all of that. The answer is, allow the Holy Spirit to fill you the way it filled Jesus, the way it filled Elizabeth. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. You and I can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And by the way, in Luke 11:13, Jesus says we can ask every day, ask and ask, and he will refill you and refill you. So why? So that you can get refilled and you can re-gift it. And then get refilled and re-gift it. And refilled and re-gift it. It's great. It's a gift you can give every day. It is the greatest gift of all time. It's the Savior, Jesus Christ. Continue. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. See, even the Holy Spirit saying, man, she is old. And this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. You see that? She says she is called barren. Why? The other women mock her. Not anymore. Not anymore. They're probably, their jaws are, she's old. She's got a baby. And her baby's, what Jesus is going to say about her baby, John, he says, there's not a greater man born unto woman ever was John the Baptist, her baby. There's an accomplishment. And this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. With God, nothing will be No. With God, nothing will be
impossible.
Amen. Amen. Now, for God, nothing's impossible. Even if you're past your childbearing days, be careful. Honey, you're on the couch tonight. We got to trust God. We got to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 38. And Mary said, look at her humility. No, I don't want that for me. No, that's going to be hard. They're going to ridicule me. My family may disown me. They may even try to kill me. No. That's not her response. Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. She says, I'll do it. Whatever. Highly favored. He has made us in the beloved. Now, I got to tell you a quick story. Don't check out. Check this out. So, Zechariah, he would be the guy, if you knew a girl that became impregnated and she wasn't married, and you're thinking, ooh, that's sin. We may have to stone her to death. You wouldn't take her to a doctor. You would take her to the priest. And the priest would then examine to see if it was true. And then if she was guilty, the priest would determine whether or not you were going to be stoned to death. Now, Mary gets this news, and guess where she runs? Straight to Elizabeth's house. Straight to the one that if she was going to be examined, if she was going to be stoned to death, that her husband, the priest, would be the one to determine her stoning. Which tells me this is legit. She really did. She really was a virgin birth, because if she had been impregnated by a man, she would run away from Zechariah and Elizabeth. Now, when she comes into the presence of Elizabeth, she's in her sixth month. When she walks in, she just received the embryo, the egg, the Holy Spirit just started bringing life. The cell may be divided one time. She comes into the presence of Elizabeth, who's 6 months, and John the Baptist, even in the womb, goes, "Behold the Lamb of God." And she's going like, "Whoa, you truly are blessed among women." Why? Because she knows the one she has inside of her is from God, and he's excited about whatever she has in her. This is a God thing. Now, Mary goes, and I love this. First of all, the priest Zechariah, he had an encounter with an angel, so that when Mary comes and says, "I had an angel," he goes, he can't talk. Remember? Think about Elizabeth. Elizabeth gets a double blessing. First, she gets a baby and her husband shut up. She's like, "God, can it get any better?" This is awesome. But then Mary comes and he's like, he can't say anything. So she's in the clear. But he also had his encounter where he's like, "Look at how old my wife is, and she is pregnant." So he knows how God can work. So listen, she doesn't get stoned to death. Confirmation from John the Baptist. And here's a side note. Some people say that birth, that life begins at breath. In Genesis, they say even the Bible teaches that life begins at breath, because God breathed into Adam and he was alive. And I say, no. Why? That was a special occasion. Why? Because Mary was created from a rib. That only happened one time. Here, you have a brand new impregnated fetal. I forget what you call those things when it's brand new, but it just happened. And then you have a six-month-old, both still in the belly, and they both have life. A baby is alive from the moment of conception. End of story. Now, it's Christmas. What do you do on your birthday? People bring you gifts and they sing to you. They want to bless you and they're grateful for you being alive. It's Jesus' birthday. Shouldn't we give him our heart? Shouldn't we share our faith? Shouldn't we live holy lives? Shouldn't our hearts be anticipating his return? And hear me in this. If you're going through difficult times, that you would persevere and know that God has a hope and a plan for you. Why? Because he's already given you the greatest gift. He's given you the Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the greatest gift. We thank you, Lord, that we now get to live lives worthy of the gift that you have placed inside us. What an amazing gift. Father, I do pray and ask right now, Lord, as our hearts are bowed and Lord, our hearts are soft, I pray, Lord, if there is anyone here that needs to receive you today, Lord, this is a time when we are thankful for you being born as a child. If there is someone here today that does not know you, would they surrender their heart to you? Give that beautiful gift to you of their heart. And Lord, maybe there's someone here today that's struggling in their walk. They've been through a lot. And they need to recommit their lives. They need to get back to square one with you. I pray today was the day that they'd give you the gift that you want more than anything, our love, our devotion. And so, Lord, I don't know if there's someone here. If you're here today and you want to receive Christ for the first time, would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I need Jesus today. I need to give my life to him. I need to know that I have a hope and a future. I need to surrender my sins. I need to have all my sins taken care of so that I can have eternal life with him. Is there anyone here that needs to receive Christ for the first time? It'd be a great time to give him your heart. Then maybe there's someone here who's saved, but you've been struggling to give him your whole heart. You've been struggling to trust him. And today you need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. You need that recommitment. You need to re-gift your heart to him. If that's you, would you raise your hand and say, praise the Lord. Awesome. I see a couple hands. I see some more hands. Awesome. Awesome. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to ask that when this service, during the worship or when the worship's done, we have a couple of deacons up front here that are willing to pray with you. And maybe you needed to surrender your heart for the first time and you're just kind of worried. Listen, during this song, if you feel the need, you can come forward. They're going to pray with you. We're not going to send you any slips, any envelopes home or ask you. We just want to pray over you that you get your walk right with God, that you surrender your heart with God, that you begin to live a fruitful life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or if you're struggling with something, they'd love to pray with you. Father God, I thank you for those who raise their hand. I thank you, Lord, that you are alive and moving in this church, in this valley, in our lives. Father, may we surrender ourselves to you. May we be grateful for your offering. May we walk in newness, Lord. May we re-gift the Holy Spirit out to as many as we can, especially when people are open to receive. And Father, for those who raise their hand, may they be bold enough to come for prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you need prayer, come forward, these guys. In the meantime, let's worship. And don't forget, Thursday night, candlelight service. God bless you.